It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith back with you for another hour or so. Drew Beam, Tennessee starting pitcher, coming up here in about 20 minutes on the program. We begin, as always, with the Top 5 at 5. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Freddie DeLeon and DJ Jefferson have both landed at new schools. DeLeon is staying in the Power 5 ranks as he committed to Penn State, and Jefferson is going to Longwood.
Freddie Buckets and DJ Jefferson. Glad they found out, and not everybody that jumps in the portal finds a good home.
Very true. And it doesn't hurt quite as bad, to be honest.
What do you mean? That they went to quote-unquote lesser schools?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that to, you know, besmirch anybody, but if they go to if you go to UConn instead of Penn State, I'm going to be like, wait, what? Dan Hurley wants this guy? We couldn't get him on the floor? What have we done here? But, yeah, this feels a little different.
At number two, pull this up, significant wide-ranging administrative changes occurred today at Texas A&M. A statement from Trev Alberts, the new AD, read, "This morning we met with several individuals to inform them that in light of the upcoming changes to our administrative structure, they will not be employees of the athletics department in the future. These changes are difficult, and let me state emphatically, these people have done nothing wrong. These are good, hardworking members of the Aggie family, and their service is greatly appreciated. It was not personal. It was a business decision."
Well, they were good, hardworking people. Now they are jobless, Trevor. But whew. Come in and clean it up.
Danny White fire a bunch of people when he got here?
If he did, he didn't do it like this. Not like a, hey, today's Black Wednesday.
Yeah.
Here's the pink slips. But I'm sure, yeah. There's
the thing that's shocking about that is he's only been there like a month. Seems like it
has it even been that long?
Yeah, I mean it seems like it would be hard to get a really firm grasp on the scope of a job like Texas A&M Athletics in that amount of time. Maybe he had some prior knowledge or maybe it was a
cluster
directive from the
people
that hired him. It's like, look, you gotta trim some fat when you get here. We've grown too big for our britches. And then the other thing you wonder is this connected to the Jimbo Fisher buyout? And, hey, we're paying a guy $75 million not to coach for us. Which I thought that money would come from, you know, boosters would just pass around the hat, but maybe not.
At number three, quick look at the NBA playoffs going on tonight. At 7 p.m., you've got the Heat playing the Celtics on TNT. Celtics are 14.5-point favorites in that one.
Oof.
And the other game is at 9:30. That's between the Pelicans and the Thunder. Oklahoma City is a 7.5-point favorite. That game on TNT as well. Thunder lead that series, and back in the other one, the Celtics lead that series, both one game to none.
I feel like the Celtics and the Heat are always playing each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I think the difference this year is that the Heat are very banged up. I believe Jimmy Butler is out, so.
Is Zion back yet for the Pelicans?
I don't think so.
No.
I've never seen him play. I need to tune in.
I saw him play for a few minutes, and then he pulled his hamstring.
I watched him for the first time. He's dropping 40. They're about to beat the Lakers, and then he hits a jumper and grabs the hamstring.
I also know they made the change like 10 years ago, but I'm still having trouble getting used to the Pelicans as a mascot in the NBA.
Frightening birds.
Have you all ever seen Barkley riding him?
Who?
Zion. Busting on him.
When he went to
a little bit of a pot calling the kettle black.
I was going to say.
He acknowledges that. He goes, look, take it from me. And they sent him to Portland to lose the weight, and Barkley was like, they not have food in Portland?
Hey, not as good food, huh?
I don't know. But yeah.
Did they send him to fat camp? He looked pretty good. I've seen, you know, just clips and stuff. But
oh, yeah. I mean, he looks much better. But, yeah, Shaq and Barkley have just ridden him into the ground. Whipping boy.
At number four, MLB scoreboard, we have two games in progress. One gone final, the Cardinals defeat. defeated the Diamondbacks 5-1. Cardinals take the series win. The Mets defeated the are up on the Giants, 3-0 in the top of the fifth with two outs. The Orioles lead the Angels in the bottom of the fourth, 1-0. Some games later tonight, the Red Sox play the Guardians in Cleveland at 6:10. The A's play the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. Yankees trying to get the sweep, or not sweep, series victory there, rather. The Braves are playing for the sweep, however, at 7:20 against the Marlins.
And we are going for the sweep.
Yes.
I've got the Braves on the 1.5 tonight.
That game lasted an hour and 53 minutes last night. You said the 2 hours and 17 was short, and then they just outdid it.
I think the Braves game started like an hour after the Vols game and was
an hour and 20
minutes,
and I got to watch Tennessee wrap it up, flip over, and watch the end of the Braves. It was actually pretty magical. Yeah, there's only like an inning and a half left.
Max Fried, fantastic. Now,
dealing.
The fact that the Marlins suck has something to do with this
as well. They're not good.
You got to take them when you can get them. I mean,
Fried, I mean, really stumbled out of the gates. His first two starts were awful. And he's looked much better here lately.
And finally, at number five, a British wine merchant raised the bar for boozers and runners alike after blind tasting 25 glasses of wine during the London Marathon, nearly one for each mile. Known as the wine guy on TikTok, the Brit frequently films himself doing various taste tests and demonstrating how to get the best wine for your buck. For his latest feat, the sprinter decided to run the London Marathon to raise $2,487 for his hospice charity in Oxford, which cared for his mother during her final days. So far, they've raised $16,000.
Damn.
16,000 pounds.
Well, in American money, dollars.
He's got the conversion bear. I mean, come on, please. You take him for some kind of goober?
That was a great story. He was smashed. Though,
so he's running a marathon, and every mile he's drinking a new glass of wine?
Yeah, taste testing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be puking your guts out by the end?
It's like you'd have to be.
He's in pretty good shape. I saw this story. I saw it. It was pretty nice.
I was reading a thing about Joe Strummer from The Clash. Did you realize that he ran marathons?
No, it doesn't surprise me, though.
There's pictures that he ran the Paris Marathon in the mid-80s, and they said that he was he had 10 beers the night before. He was out drinking, showed up and ran the marathon, and then went out drinking again afterwards.
My brother was a marathon runner. He ran a lot of big marathons.
I've never been able to run. Just like even as exercise.
Did it blew my mind. Running. I mean, he was a fatty the whole time we were growing up.
That's not nice.
And he ended up being like a competitive marathon runner.
If you couldn't tell, I don't like running either.
No, we could tell. It's like you could tell I don't like running. Nice. Houston doesn't like it, and Russ doesn't like it. Nobody in here is a runner.
I like doing it if there's a sport involved, like soccer, basketball, football.
Yeah,
just the running to run. I'm just like
on a treadmill or even just out on the street. Like, cannot do it.
Like, what's my goal here? When do I turn around?
When can I stop?
Yeah.
Was Rick Butler the last person to come through here that actually enjoyed running?
Probably, but he didn't really run. He just laid in the weeds and overheard his coworkers. You know.
Yeah, he sandbagged.
But you have to enjoy running to be on a track team in high school.
At one time, he was a sprinter.
It showed.
The difference between running and sprinting.
Maybe that's what I should have done, Russ. Sprinting. You're done in like 30, 40
seconds.
Sprinting
is a kind of running.
You got to to be a sprinter, you got to be fast.
I could do that.
I was actually kind
of
fast
to get in shape,
a
do a little higher interval training and like that, but it's like the people, I ran 6 miles today. How?
Why?
That sounds terrible.
Did your car break down? Major question.
Was something chasing you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate on the car. I wish I could do it.
Me too.
That would be cool, but I can't.
My dad's one of those people.
He's a runner?
Yeah.
Your dad's a runner?
Yeah, he ran track in high school. He coached track for a little while in high school, too.
You know, runners are kind of obnoxious, though, you know? They always got to go get their run in. Like, even to now, like, I mean, my brothers show up for coming to town, whatever.
How is this obnoxious? What impact does it have on you?
Because we've all got to wait around for him to go take his damn run.
No, I've had some friends.
He's got to come home and shower.
You've got plans, and they're like, all right, got to go get my run. And they're like, whoa, we're leaving in 30 minutes. It's like, yeah, no, I got it. 50 minutes later, he's getting out of the shower, and we're 20 minutes late.
Yeah. Total, you know exactly what I'm talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Everything revolves around their damn run.
Sounds very personal. Who's the runner in your life that's messing everything up?
No.
I feel like all your in-laws are runners, aren't they?
It's more than one.
Aren't all your in-laws runners?
Well, just put that out there, huh? Trying to make his life
harder. That's their business.
Thank you, Tucker Harlan, who is not a runner. That is the top five at five here on Fan Run Radio. It is Russell, it is Bear, it is Houston Kress, and the aforementioned Tucker Harlan. Got a couple lines available if you want to jump in. Take a shot. 865-288-3131. Your number to get on board here this afternoon. Chaz Lanier officially in the portal.
This one should move quickly, we think.
I would hope so. I thought Igor was going to move quickly. That's still twisting in the wind, evidently.
Patience is a virtue, boys.
I've been told Okparo is going to move quickly, and I suppose his visit is either just wrapped up or is currently wrapping up. So maybe that does happen quickly, but I feel like every time we're told it's going to happen quickly, it doesn't happen quickly.
Right.
Who said it?
I guess as long as the ending is what we want, that's all that matters.
Sure. Absolutely.
I can be patient. So that is the focus of the portal for Tennessee. You get Lanier and you get Igor and Okparo. I mean, you got that's a pretty good roster flip right away. And you still have spots to play with. I mean, let's assume for a second that we don't get Cade Tyson. Who are we going to use to fill the other two or three spots that are still going to be available on this roster?
I don't know.
Perhaps the young man from Central Arkansas that we were discussing yesterday.
Tucker Johnson.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
What, a fellow Tucker coming here?
Yeah, you'd like that.
Not very many Tuckers out there.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be like, hey, my buddy, my name brother, Tucker Johnson. It'd be good.
I guess you leave the door open for Awaka, but if he didn't want to compete with Adu, is he going to want to compete with Okparo and Igor?
That feels like that's done.
It does, doesn't it?
And I think even – I don't know. I guess circumstances would lead to the result, but it just feels like maybe we're done dealing with it. It sounded like that should have been an easy fix once Adu jumped in the portal, and then whatever happened after that has just become a mess, and maybe it's just too much of a headache at this point.
David says, Hoosiers is much better than the natural – put it this way, Hoosiers gets better every time I watch it. The natural gets worse. Natural is too corny for anyone that knows much baseball. See, that I have gotten that feeling. I haven't seen it, so I'll withhold a certain amount of judgment, but like the guy's got a homemade bat.
That's kind
of. And he's the best player of all time. Is it a magic bat? It's been imbued with mystical powers or something.
You gotta watch the movie.
All right.
The story behind the bat.
Is it cheese?
No.
Okay.
I love them, but sports movies are inherently corny.
Yeah, and if you know one sport really well, you can pick up on that really quick.
Baseball really
runs. Dude, with a straight face, that guy's going to sit here and tell me Hoosiers ain't corny? It's cringy. That's why I couldn't watch more than 5 minutes of it. Droopy white guy, sweat sock basketball in Indiana. It's garbage.
Oh, is the cast of The Natural particularly diverse?
No.
Okay.
But I liked it better. Tell me something's cringy. Get the hell out of here.
Field of Dreams, very corny. But a great movie.
In more ways than one.
Well played, sir.
You know, I think I've only seen that one once start to finish, and that was why. I was just kind of like, it's good. I liked it.
And Costner's just so boring.
Yeah, and I was just like, there really wasn't that much baseball.
Costner's boring?
Yeah.
Really?
In everything or just in that movie?
Okay. That one, he's pretty boring.
I thought he was good. My field of dreams is like the family angle. It's like, oh, the mom's raising hell in the PTA meeting. It's like, oh, this is just dorky. But
yeah.
James Earl Jones waxing poetic about baseball.
Yeah, again, I enjoy the movie, but
they'll come, Ray.
It's not as entertaining as, say, Sandlot.
Not his dad having a catch. I mean, come on. I defy any man not to tear up watching that, even though it is on the list of awesome things Bear hates. Mm. 865-288-3131. Let's take a quick timeout. When we continue, hope to be joined by Drew Beam, Tennessee baseball pitcher, set to join us as we get ready for Missouri. Coming in here, a three-game series that starts tomorrow. We'll have tickets for Game 1 tomorrow at Lindsey Nelson Stadium to give away after our conversation with Drew. Stay tuned. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All right, back to it here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Houston Tucker back with you on The Drive. And pleased to be joined now by a special guest, Tennessee starting pitcher Drew Beam, with us on the show today. Hello, Drew. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? I'm doing great.
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us. I know practice is just getting wrapped up over there. How was it out there today?
It was good. A little warm today, so it's good to be back in some warm weather. Kentucky was not that this weekend.
No. And you got Missouri coming in tomorrow, and that was one last year where it wasn't warm out there either, was it?
Indeed, it was not. I did not enjoy the weather up there last year.
I think you guys enjoyed much of anything up there last year.
You are correct with that one. It was not a fun weekend.
Not to start the interview off on a negative, Drew, but let's get into it.
You're getting those fires going. That's what we need, yeah.
What happened up there? That just looked like it just sucked, I mean, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I mean, they came out punching. They punched us in the mouth real early, and we didn't respond the way we needed to, but had a good response about halfway through SEC last year, so we needed that at that point in the year.
For sure, for sure. Is there any, like, revenge factor? And this is Vitello's alma mater, too. I don't think he cares very much for them. Like, is this one that you guys are motivated for coming into this week?
Yeah, always motivated for an SEC weekend. But, yeah, they punched us in the mouth last year, so now this is kind of our get back. And so kind of, you know, we take every week the same, but there's always that little bit of extra stuff whenever they kind of gave you their all last year. So it's going to feel good, and we want to get back and punch back at them this year.
And people wondering if you would be the Friday night starter this year for Tennessee. Well, you will be this week because the series starts tomorrow, so you pitch on the Friday evening. What's that been like for you, kind of being in the middle, the second game there? As you know, some guys want to be that Friday night guy. You don't appear to have a strong preference one way or the other. You just kind of go out there and do your thing, which is why I think a lot of folks are big fans of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, early on, didn't know, I guess, before season who was going to be where. And, you know, that's obviously everyone's goal, to be out there on Friday night pitching for your team. But I went out there and coach gave me the Saturday job and kind of take that as a role as I'm going to get as many innings for the team, save some arms for Sunday, and just do what I can to get the team a win. And so, you know, regardless of the day I go out there, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever it be, I'm going to try and give my all and give the team an opportunity to win. And so I just try to stay with that mindset and keep going every week.
The other thing that's been interesting about that dynamic is several times this year, you guys have lost game one of the series. And so there's a little bit of pressure going into that game, too. It happened this past week at Kentucky where it's like, all right, we're giving Drew the ball here, and we need him to come up big because if we lose today, obviously we lose the series. And so, I mean, I would guess that you're the guy with your experience that Tony wants on the hill in that situation. What has it been like in those situations where you're facing, you know, not a must win, but kind of a must win situation if you want to win the series?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thankful that I have a coaching staff that really trusts me. And so they, you know, have all the trust in the world for me to go out there and give my all. And so just knowing that and knowing that they have my back through it all kind of just gives me all the faith in the world to get out there and just do my thing, you know, like I said, regardless of the day. But yeah, being that Saturday, you can, you know, get a series back even, it can win a series. So it's a pretty important day, just like the other two are. I mean, no day is more important than the other. So I just kind of try to attack it that way and give it my all every time.
Who talks to you more during a start, Tony Vitello or Frank Anderson?
After the first pitch, the talking kind of coincides. I guess it goes away. They kind of let me do my thing, and we do all the game planning and stuff all beforehand. But yeah, kind of once I get in that mode and getting that that game time, that kind of feeling, they let me be and let me be who I am, and it's worked that way.
Interesting. So they're not. I've always heard, you know, never talk to a pitcher during a no hitter, but they, I'm sure they say a couple of things to you, like, get going, keep going, something like that, or is it just sort of radio silence once the game starts?
You know, if there's something that that Coach A obviously thinks I need to adjust, or there's a way we need to, we're switching up the game plan slightly, he'll come say something to me. Other than that, it's pretty much just let me be, and then once I'm out of the game, they'll come up and talk to me. But it's, I guess that's kind of the relationship we've got for each other, a lot of respect, and they just let me be and, you know, say my own thoughts and get going for the next inning.
Do you have freedom to call your own pitches, or do they call the pitches for you?
We've opened it up, and so he gives me the freedom to shake, so it is on me. Get the pitch that I want, and I really appreciate that he has the trust in me, and we've built that relationship to be able to do that.
That's cool. So maybe not didn't have that your freshman year?
He's always been okay with us shaking and okay. Doing, you know, what we're confident with. But yeah, as you know, gain that respect and gain that, you know, I guess the knowledge of the game from him, and kind of figure out what he likes to do against hitters, and it kind of rubs off on you. So kind of honestly, can before he calls the pitch, I kind of think I know what he's going to call, and so we kind of have on the same wavelength there. And so we've become almost, you know, 2-1 there. So I kind of have a feeling before every time he calls a pitch, I kind of know what's coming here.
Drew being with us this afternoon on the program. Drew, what's it like now being the staff vet or ace as opposed to being, you know, the third starter the past 2 years? You're a freshman and then the Sunday guy again last year. And now even though you're not the first guy out there, it's pretty clear that you're the most trusted starter.
It's fun. You know, I learned a lot from, you know, guys like Dolander and Tidwell and Camden Sewell, Redmond Walsh. You know, the list just continues to go on. My first 2 years, but just learning things from them and how this program is, you know, where it used to be and where it's going, and how to continue it in that right direction. So just having that chance and the opportunity to pass that on to these freshmen and younger guys that are in the program now, just it's a lot of fun, and it's really cool to see. Just, you know, I want to leave this place and it be better than when I found it, and just continue to have that, you know, upward trending momentum after I leave this place. And I want to see this place continue to strive once I leave. So just trying to, you know, instill that culture into the guys that are here that are going to, you know, leave a legacy for the guys that follow them has kind of been my goal. And so it's been fun to take that new, I guess, step into leadership this year.
How have you grown as a pitcher in your 3 years here in Knoxville?
I'd say I went from I was never, you know, just try to get up there and blow it past you, but I guess I was more of just a thrower in high school. And I've kind of learned how to pitch here, learned a lot from Coach A. He's done a lot for us. And then just, you know, learning how to attack hitters and look at their swings and figure things out and that such.
What about just the physical aspect of it? Like, it's not like baseball was back in the day where I know you guys are in there lifting weights and stuff, and you've got some pretty big pitchers. You're a pretty big pitcher, played football in high school, all that stuff. Just physically, have you grown since you've been here as a freshman?
Indeed. It's a very physically demanding sport, and I've learned how to take care of my arm. You know, I had an arm injury my senior year of high school, but I've learned, you know, the aspects of arm care and how to recover and such stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I've gotten a lot stronger than I was when I first day here with Coach Q, and you know, we're still grinding out. We just finished a couple minutes ago, just finished up a lift, and so We're grinding every day. Get stronger, faster, more explosive, and I'd say I'm a whole lot more developed than I was when I was first here.
Yeah, we're going to ask, like, you know, it's practice pretty much every day this time of year, and as a starting pitcher, obviously you've got to recover, right? What do the starting pitchers do during practice when everybody else is fielding ground balls, taking BP, whatever?
Yeah, the practice aspect of things, I mean, we're pretty much doing the same as the relievers and stuff. We're participating in the PFP work and playing catch and such. But, you know, I've got my, you know, post bullpen arm care that I do that, you know, so, I don't know, we kind of have 50-50 on relievers if they throw a bullpen during the week or not. But I throw a bullpen weekly, and so I have my arm care that I do after that. And just, you know, some other things that I picked up from guys that have been here in the past. But just, yeah, we attack every day. I guess we all have, you know, patterns and rhythms that we go through and routines.
Yeah.
But I pretty much, you know, go through all the same work that all the relievers and other starters do. But then there's some extra work that I do to, you know, maintain, you know, health in my arm.
Well, arm injuries are such a big topic in the sport right now. And we're watching one with A.J. Russell on the team right now. Braves fans are dealing, you know, the Spencer Strider news and everything. And Is that something you think about as a pitcher, like even more nowadays with all these stories that are going on? It's like, hey, man, I've really got to be careful so that I don't end up with one of these situations.
I think that, you know, the recovery part is something you think about, but the whole, you know, getting injured is something you don't think about. You know, kind of don't want to ever speak that or talk that into or think that into existence, really. But, yeah, I mean, we go through a whole lot more, you know, physically demanding throws than the game, you know, had 30 years ago. Guys are throwing a whole lot harder. Guys are a whole lot bigger and stronger. And so, yeah, just the taking care of our arms is a lot more important than it used to be. And, you know, developing new ways to continue to take care of our arms is kind of cool. You know, people have a million different ways to do arm care, a million different ways to routines that they do. And so it's just cool, and seeing how everybody does it differently is pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, you had how many pitches did you throw Saturday?
Somewhere in the mid-90s, I believe.
So you throw 90-plus pitches. What is the ideal recovery for that? You just, you know, relax the next day? Do you do anything?
I was wondering that too. Is when it do you, ice massage?
Yeah, like,
eat?
Like how do you, and you throw a bullpen, so like how do you work back up to that?
Yeah, so I'll kind of take you through. So, you know, Saturday through in game, Sunday morning is my lift, and then we run. And that's kind of my only things that I do on the day following an outing. Is lifting and running. Don't touch a baseball. That's kind of my thing. Some other guys like to play catch, but my thing, I just get out there and just run and lift. And then 2 days of light catch, and then on, I guess, Wednesdays, I throw a bullpen, and then lift after a bullpen, lift the day after a bullpen, play light catch for those 2 days leading up to my start. Yeah, I mean, it's developed, and Q's helped me with a lot of my lifting schedules and running and all of that such, and Coach A's helped me with my bullpen schedules.
What all is entailed when you say throwing a bullpen? Like how many, you get your arm warmed up and throw a certain number of pitches?
Yeah, I've got a pretty down pat routine. It's anywhere between 20 and 30 pitches. It's not max effort by any means. It's touch and feel. It's just trying to feel the pitches off my, you know, off my fingers one more time before the outing. But it's by no means a high effort or, you know, taxing bullpen session. So it's just get up there and get a feel for things and see how you're feeling in the middle of the week.
Yeah, so it's not going all out. What does your arm feel like after you throw 90-plus pitches? Because I go out and throw
– Yeah, we've been wondering.
I throw the ball with my son in the backyard, and, like, the next day I – did somebody hit me with a hammer or something? I wonder what it feels like for you.
Usually pretty good.
Okay. I'm just not an athlete.
Not good enough where I'd want to go back out and throw 90 pitches the next day. Yeah. But it's been good where, you know, this year we trained. I think my freshman year I had a little bit of burnout towards the end of the season where I was getting tired. towards the end. And I feel like I've done pretty well this past off season and this preseason this year. We're built up really well and conditioned really well, where I'm not having that burnout or that, you know, that fatigue that guys may have after a long outing and such. So obviously, you know, don't want to go back out there and throw the next day, but not having any, you know, any pain or any fatigue where I can't do other activities and such.
Talking with Drew Beam this afternoon on the program, a little inside pitching with Drew today. Now, Drew, Tony Vitello, during one of his TV interviews this weekend, said that you think you're a golfer now. Take take us through your golf game right now. How is it, and do you find time to play a little bit during the season?
Yeah, so a little backstory. My dad played college golf and a little semi-professional. Okay. So he's quite a bit better than me. We haven't actually got to play. He's got an injury that he won't get fixed. But, yeah, so I've tried some things, and I'm not awful. I shot I get to play on Mondays usually. That's our day that we get to get out there, and I guess I shot an 81 on Monday.
All right.
That wasn't too shabby. I had shot a one over on the back nine, so I had a good nine.
That's pretty good for a guy who also is a starting pitcher at the University of Tennessee in baseball. Yeah, it's pretty good casual Monday there, Drew.
Yeah. We've got some fellas on this team that can swing the sticks pretty well, and they're pretty good out there on the course. So it's always fun, and we usually get a good group.
Who else are the big hitters on the team?
I have a guess or two.
One of the really good ones that always gives me crap and such is Luke Payne. He's a freshman, one of the freshmen on the team. He can hit the ball pretty well. Cal Stark's actually a pretty good golfer. Kirby's falling off the table. Kirby used to be real good.
Shots fired.
But he has his days. Xander's figured it out. Xander doesn't slice it anymore. So Xander's getting the swing down pretty pat there. And Xander's a right-handed golfer, even though he throws lefty. But yeah, we've got a good, pretty good, solid group of players that get out there. And you know, Mondays are just a team lift day, and it's pretty much an off day for the rest of the day. So that's a day that we get to, you know, relax and have a little team time together. And it's our day that we have some fun out on the course.
Now, when you're playing with your old man back before he got hurt, is that fun for you, or is he the kind that's always giving you your shoulder's dipping a little bit there, son, your backswing's coming up a little bit too soon? Is he always giving you little pointers and advice like that?
No, none of that. He literally takes three clubs out there and beats me.
he's one of those guys. All right.
Yeah, like driver, iron, and a putter, and he's going to beat me. It's really whatever, but we'll get there one day. Once he gets that his shoulder fixed, and I can get back out there and beat him again, we'll have some fun with it.
All right, good deal. Now, you have gotten a front row seat to the SEMO versus Burke little personal home run derby. Those guys have going on. They've both broken the Helton or the all time record. Now they're chasing the single season record. Pretty cool. What's that been like for you to have that front row seat?
It's been awesome. Story from, I guess, what it was in Sunday's game. SEMO hit that second homer, came in the dugout, and walked up to me and one other guy, and he's like, I'm going to get another at bat, and I'm going to hit another. I was like, all right. And then sure enough, he went back up there and hit another. And I thought that was pretty cool. But it's been fun watching the two of them battle it out even since freshman year. I mean, the two of them didn't start, but they were, you know, taking some DH and some pinch hitting opportunities freshman year, and they were taking big hacks and making the best of it for them, two of them. And so it's been fun to see how they've grown and they've developed over the years, and they're just really unreal to watch at the plate, especially right now. Both of them are batting insane, and it's awesome having them on my team and not having to pitch against them.
Yeah, I don't believe – I'm no coach, no pitcher, but I don't believe I would have pitched to SEMO that third time.
No, I don't
think I would have given him much to
it. It didn't make sense to me, but then, you know, you think about it, it's like, all right, you already had a dude on. You put SEMO on, now you got Burke.
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah. He's got the ultimate lineup protection, yeah.
Yeah, you get Burke out, now you got Billy. And it's like – then you got KT. I mean, it's just – it's fun having a lineup like that playing for you.
Oh, no doubt. All right. Well, we're excited about it this season, and you'll be glad to know, Drew, that the last time we had a player on was Simo, and I think he hit two home runs that night. So
I think that's right. Awesome. Yeah.
This ensures a great start for you Friday.
Maybe a no-no.
Let's go. That's money. That's what we need.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you. Good luck the rest of the way, and thanks so much for jumping on with us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all.
Yep. That's Drew Beam, Tennessee ace, spending some time with us here this afternoon, and that's pretty cool.
I think we
Simo calling a shot there.
May have found a couple of ringers for the next golf tournament. Oh, yeah. Team drive.
Are you taking notes?
Beam, yeah. Beam and his old man. We get him on our team.
Yeah, we need him on our team, not with their own team, because then it'd just be over. Yeah. Yeah.
Good but, stuff.
That was a lot of crazy stuff in there.
Yeah, man, I'm fascinated by the whole process of the pitching recovery.
Yeah, I am too. The arm care and all that. The other part that fascinated me was that he kind of calls his – it sounds like they kind of – he gets to call his own game.
Yeah.
It's a level of trust you only see usually with guys like –
I took it to that Frank is calling the pitches, but he has wide range to shake off and you know, pitch what – throw what he wants in key
and it
moments.
Also sounds like he's been with Frank long enough.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, they know each
that
other.
Sounds like a very collaborative effort throughout the week as they prepare, you know, the game plan for opposition.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Final segment coming up here. 865-288-3131. I know the area code, okay, Chris? I've been living here 40 years. Come on now. Give me a little credit.
Yeah, but it's changed once
it
in
is.
That time. So.
Well, it used to be 423 or?
Yeah, wasn't it 42? Tucker, I don't know why I'm asking.
It
you.
Actually changed. It started off, I think everybody was 615, and then we became 423.
And then Chattanooga kept 423, and we got 865?
We got 865, and then now I think there's like another one.
Well, Memphis has 901.
Yeah. I think Memphis was always 901.
Okay.
From the time I was a kid.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Back to wrap things up right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive wrapping up on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Drew Beam, Bear, what did you learn?
I mean, not really learned. I knew it was interesting to hear, you know, what you said you were fascinated about is like the actual day-to-day, what those guys do for like maintenance with their arm and, you know.
I thought it was interesting to hear him admit that he did have a little bit of arm burnout his freshman year.
And got tired at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That would have been which one?
That would have been the team that missed out on the loss to Notre Dame. I don't remember what his – I do remember us having the discussion. Oh man, do you plug in so and so for a start here and give so and so a week off and something like that? And I don't think they ever really did any of that. But
I remember that.
It does feel like we have that conversation from time to time. And I want to say he got up near 100 pitches on Saturday.
I could have sworn. I thought at one point I could have. Picture in my head seeing 98 next to his pitch count. But you'd think he keeps pretty close track of that.
I would think that during the game you probably don't have – well, I don't know. I don't know what kind of numbers and stuff he's looking at during the game. That was another interesting aspect that he doesn't talk much to the coaches once the game starts.
Yeah, other than looking at his – I guess he's got one of those wrist things.
I don't think he does. Our guys don't use that. They've got the pitch comm. I think it's in the hat. It's like they can hear. There's a speaker in your hat.
We have a couple guys who have. They only either have it on their belt or on their wrist.
Yeah.
I remember when Vanderbilt used that and no one else did.
Get him back on. I want to know what he uses. Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah. Well, some guys, and then sometimes we're using just the regular hand signals. Like when there's nobody on, they'll just go ahead and use the hand signals.
Yeah, that was
– who was it last year? It was picking off our signs. You remember that game?
I feel like there were
and
several.
It was our fault. I can't remember who it was that was on the mound.
It happens all the time, man.
He wasn't guarding his – he was holding it up here, and that
no, the big one was 2 years. That's what that was part of what precipitated the Vitello bumping the umpire, the Macias incident. Yeah. It was against Alabama, and Frank thought that the third base, Alabama's third base coach, was looking in the pitcher's mitt. I think it was Dolander that game, and somehow tipping pitches to the batter or something, and words were said and tempers flared.
Look, that was when Dolander got drilled, right?
Yeah, yeah, the comebacker. Mm-hmm.
The things that go on during a game, the games within the games.
Well, baseball's just full of.
Did he say Luke Payne or Ethan Payne
Luke
played
baseball?
So it's Luke. So it's the foursome is Luke Payne, Cal Stark, Xander Seacrest, and Drew Beam.
Said Kirby's out.
Kirby, I got the down arrow by Kirby's name. He's been kicked out of the foursome. Just I know you said you wrote it down. I want to make sure I had it too in my notes.
I'd take Cannell on my team any day of the week. You notice how much better, like Cannell made a play this weekend. He doesn't make back last year. He wasn't in shape. He couldn't have gotten to the ball that quick.
He's an athlete. His power is in the stash. He's been a pleasant surprise. I didn't know what to expect from him. I thought maybe it might be a senior year where he kind of just fade off and go into, you know, coaching or whatever. But he's been a dynamite teammate, and then he's had some really great outings for you, some really critical outs that he's gotten.
He gives funny, honest answers, and he basically said, "Yeah, shouldn't have thrown that one.
Yeah,
it's a bad pitch."
Yeah, I mean, he's never been an overpower you guy. It's kind of. I'm going to come at you with smoke and mirrors, a lot of off-speed breaking balls and stuff like that. And problem with that
is when
you don't nail it, you get nailed. But he comes in and people are like, he gets hit a lot. And I see Tennessee fans complaining about our overall pitching. We don't have much pitching. And
where are we ranked?
Well, we're number 12 in the country in ERA. We're one of 12 teams with a sub-4 run ERA, so 3.96. It's pretty good.
Borderline top 10 staff.
Well, I mean, it's all relative, too. I mean, you look at you read some of those offensive numbers the other day. We're leading the nation in home runs. We're leading the nation in slugging percentage. We're top 10 in every batting statistic that exists.
We're sixth nationally in WHIP, which is the much better pitching statistic
than ERA
behind. Yeah. And so, I mean,
well, the thing that
statistically we have one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball.
The other thing I always try and keep in mind with Cannell, I just notice it. Usually when he enters a game, a lot of times things have gone terribly wrong and they're coming to him.
He's a pinch man for sure.
You could help us out here, buddy?
Yeah, no, his role has changed because I remember 2 years ago Tony saying, or maybe it might have even been Kirby in an interview saying, his role is basically when a game is out of hand or, you know, one way or the other,
yeah,
to come in and just pound the strike zone and get the game moving along. And, you know, sometimes they're going to hit that ball 400 feet. Sometimes they're going to hit it, you know, pop it up or ground it out. But, like, that was kind of his deal is – he's coming in to pound the strike zone and basically not walk people and keep the game moving along and just chew up innings. And now he comes in, to put out fires and to, you know, there's still like – we didn't want to take him out Sunday.
Right.
We did not want to. And it's like, okay, well, he's throwing 60-plus pitches. He's pretty much gassed here, and they're teeing off on him. And
we've gone through the order.
I mean, imagine if that had gone poorly. Thank God Phillips came in and got that guy out. But, I mean, it was kind of white-knuckle time there. It was a little touch and go.
I find myself getting a lot more wound up watching baseball. It's as close as it gets to football for me as far as anxiety. It's a lot worse than basketball.
I think it's just because it's such a long burn. Like, when something goes bad, you have a long time to think about it.
Yeah,
and if something goes good, you're like, oh, but something else bad could happen. Basketball.
Something else bad.
You're just kind of like, well, here's the flow of the game. Let's see what happens.
You can kind of cruise, but, like, I mean, it got close there at the end of that game Sunday, and it was one pitch, and everything could come crashing down. I can't take it, Russ.
You have no choice.
I have to start pacing.
It was a lot of baseball this week, and I wasn't feeling good. So there were times when I was just like, I feel like I'm going crazy. I have to turn it off. I'll take a walk outside or something like that. But it's these series are marathons, too. When you're in the middle of that third game, I have been watching baseball all weekend. I have to go
pretty
do
much
something
since
else
Friday.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Obviously, start with the baseball game. Then I got to watch some of the draft. Then I got to watch Tucker and the
just
boys.
Hit me. The draft is going to be going on during baseball.
Yeah, maybe we'll be up 12-0 by the time the draft starts.
You're boycotting?
Yeah.
What? Why? That's not.
You hurt my feelings. I'll admit it. I'll be honest with you.
You're boycotting what?
Tucker's thing tomorrow. What?
Tucker seems pretty tore up about this. Are you going to be able to go on?
You can always come in if you want.
No. Don't invite me now, out of pity.
You understand that the reason that Tucker and Marcus are hosting a draft show is because that they're really into the draft and that they've been studying it and that they're well-read on these topics and have much to discuss. Have you done any sort of NFL draft preparation? Will you do any sort of draft preparation before the show comes on tomorrow, and listening to other radio shows does not count?
Certainly not. No.
So why would they have you? What could you possibly bring to their NFL draft show?
Snacks.
Color. Levity.
You think that group is going to struggle with levity and color?
Who are we talking about here? You and Marcus?
Several other people.
WP, Dawson will be here. JR is going to swing by for a little bit. John said he may just watch the draft out there and then come in after the Titans pick, give his little recap, and head home.
Hearing Ryan and Brett could make appearances.
Oh, man.
Brett.
I mean, I'm saying you guys get a little pizza and some beer, and I might stop by.
Should we throw a draft party? Not to steal their moment. We have the party out there. That way,
no, you guys still do. Maybe we'll just come in and do the show for them. You know? they can have. They can,
tell you what, Tucker, you get the pizza.
You get the, okay, here we go. Now
just
we're talking.
Fatten me up and box me out of my own show.
No, I would not do that.
I, for one, am looking for. So, all right,
so
I've got
here in the lobby.
I'm going to have baseball on one TV. We'll get the draft on the computer or vice versa. I'm listening to Tucker and Marlon's big damn draft bonanza.
Who's Marlon?
You just conflated my name and his.
It was Marlon, Tucker, Harlan, and Marcus.
Marlon and Mucker.
Marlon. That'd be a better name for Marcus.
That's what that show should be called.
Marlon. Marcus Marlon.
Marlon's draft special.
It's your host, Marlon Young.
In my defense.
You like all the improvements I'm making for this on you? All of a sudden, there's a party around it, and you got a new name.
Fan Run War Room is pretty cool.
That's what we're going with?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the graphic says.
Fan Run War Room.
I can dig it.
Did you apologize to Houston yet?
What?
You know what for?
I.
You were caught on camera, my friend, at the tournament.
He doesn't need to apologize to me, and really, he doesn't have to apologize to her until she sees it.
She hadn't seen it yet.
No, because that was in it.
He was grimacing after watching Mrs. K hit her golf shot.
One of those unfortunate caught on camera moments.
What does this have to do with anything we're discussing?
I've decided to run you down a little bit right here at the end of the show.
Right at the end.
You didn't invite me to your draft party?
I just did.
No, it just became a draft party. It was just a War Room special.
Now Bear's coming whether you want him to or not. Sorry, Tucker.
Once I found out you and Houston were coming, I'm not going to miss out on that. I got FOMO.
It's real. It's a real thing.
Oh, we wouldn't want that. Folks, another stellar edition in the books. We got a big one tomorrow with the baseball and the draft and all. I forgot to give away these tickets. All right, we'll do that off the top of the show. Mañana, your chance to go to game one of Tennessee and Missouri. Stay tuned for details on how you can win. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Houston. Russell Smith. Until tomorrow, we'll do it again right here on Fan Run Radio.